Right, so you know the state of British media is on its backside when an Australian Freedom of Information ruling ends up telling us how our own government runs censorship. Because that's what's happened here. A pile of Department for Defence Media Advisory Committee, DSMA, paperwork leaks abroad, gets forced into daylight by someone else's transparency laws. And suddenly we can see the thing our own press won't touch. And exactly why that's the case. A system that hides politically awkward stories as standard practice. Not for security, but for convenience. And the really telling bit is how calmly it all reads. Like this is just how things are done. The mainstream media doesn't question it because they already play along as part of the system. The only people who don't are independent media. And funnily enough, they're the ones now apparently being painted as a threat. As the extremists. Well, there's a giveaway as to who keeps you genuinely informed, isn't it? When the state fears the people who tell the full truth and not an acceptable version of it, you know exactly who the problem really is. Right, so the thing about this DSMA leak is that it lands differently from most political stories, because most stories revolve around an incident, a mistake, a scandal you can point to and say, well, that's where it went wrong. Well, this is nothing like that. This isn't a glimpse of wrongdoing. It's the blueprint of the machine behind all of that. You look at these documents and you're not seeing an aberration. You're seeing an operating manual for how the British state has kept certain truths out of sight for years. And the only reason it feels shocking is because they never meant for anyone outside their little club to see it. But once you've read it, once you've seen the tone and the expectation and the casualness of it all, you can't pretend anymore that the mainstream press and the state operate on opposite sides of some sort of democratic divide, because they don't. They operate inside the same structure, and the leak is the first time the public has been handed a piece of that structure in writing. So let's get this all cleared up right from the start. The DSMA system, the D-Notice system, as you might better know it as, isn't about national security in the way people are encouraged to imagine it. National security is just the coat it puts on to shield itself, the story it tells to justify itself. But the documents expose what it actually does. It shields the state from embarrassment. It shields institutions from accountability. Shields officials from scrutiny. It shields the narrative that defines British political identity. And because the system has been around for so long, it doesn't need to bark or threaten or intimidate. It simply needs to exist. There's a D notice being slapped on it. Oh, well, national security then. The people inside the mainstream media already know how to behave around this. They know the boundaries without needing to be told them. They know which topics attract attention from the security apparatus and which stories mysteriously dry up once the system gives off the signal that they're not welcome. It's a culture long before it's a committee, therefore. But what's revealing in these leaked files, as are being reported by Greyzone in a piece called Files Expose Britain's Secret D-Notice Censorship Regime, very much nail hit on head, is the calmness of it. There's no sense of stepping outside the line, no crisis atmosphere, no panic about heavy-handed censorship. It reads like routine. And that's the problem. When censorship becomes routine, it stops looking like censorship. It looks like professionalism. Certainly, that's what it gets hidden behind. It looks like responsible reporting. It looks like avoiding speculation. It looks like in the national interest. And the mainstream internalises that to the point where they become not just compliant, but predictable. The state doesn't need to tell them what not to print. It only needs to give them the shape of the boundary and they will fill in the blanks. Which is why the compliance rate amongst the mainstream media is as high as it is, 90%. You don't get numbers like that unless the culture itself is doing the work, do you? But the leak shows something else too, something more important than any suppressed given example. It shows who the system can't control. It shows who the state actually does worry about. Independent media. The outlets that don't rely on access. The journalists who don't get invited to the briefings where the limits are quietly implied. The people whose reporting isn't tied to maintaining relationships with the very institutions they're scrutinising. Very much like Greyzone then, therefore. But true of any number of other outlets doing incredible actual journalism as well, such as Declassified UK or Squawk Box or The Canary. They write outside the boundaries because they sit outside the system of news outlets who follow the establishment line, even though, and bear that 90% compliance figure in mind again, D-notices are only ever advisory. So that makes independent outlets dangerous to a system designed around the assumption that the press will always behave. You can see how this in how the officials talk about it too. Independence becomes a problem. How dare people or media outlets have independent thought, independent journalism? Deadly stuff. Independence becomes a threat, doesn't it? Independence is framed as extremism, not because the journalism is extreme at all, but because it refuses to be managed by the powers that be. How dare they hold power to account? Who do they think they are? Once you grasp that shift, everything else starts to make more sense. A state built on quiet narrative management doesn't fear lies. It fears uncontrolled truths. It fears facts that surface before the system has had time to neutralise them. It fears material that doesn't pass through the filters that have shaped British political journalism for decades. And independent outlets, deliberately or not, keep producing exactly that kind of material. And then you see the international angle of this, where the leak actually came from. The documents showing the British state trying to export this very system to Australia. That's the moment the architecture becomes global rather than domestic. You don't export a model unless you think it works. You don't recommend another democratic country adopt your censorship framework unless you believe it strengthens state control without attracting public backlash. And you certainly don't fight for months to block disclosure unless the correspondence contains something that would cause political damage if people saw it, which of course it did. But here's the irony that stings the most for the British establishment in all of this. The leak didn't come from Britain at all. It came from another country's transparency laws doing what British laws refused to do. The only reason the public now knows how DSMA actually operates is because Australia has a system that forces the sunlight onto this issue where the UK would prefer permanent shade. So that alone tells you how fragile the arrangement already is. It collapses the moment documents escape the jurisdiction designed to protect them. Serves them right for trying to flog the idea abroad, doesn't it? But the mainstream's reaction to this leak, or rather its complete lack of reaction, does tell you the rest. The silence is not accidental. It's the silence of institutions that understand the danger of reporting on a system they belong to, that they're part of. Because to report the leak honestly would require admitting that their entire mode of journalism, if it can even be called that, has been shaped by this structure. That certain stories didn't surface because the system nudged them that way. That the public narrative has been curated for years, not through overt censorship, but through professional habits rooted in access and influence. If they go too far, the access goes with it. And that's enough to keep most of the legacy press in line without anyone having to issue instructions. No mainstream editor wants to admit that. No newsroom wants to explain to its audience why an investigative outlet halfway across the world ended up doing the transparency work they were supposed to be doing themselves. So if you want to know why independent journalism is so essential, this is why. Because independent journalists don't have the luxury of pretending the structure is benign. They aren't invited into those rooms where the expectations are set. They don't get the quiet briefings that shape what legacy outlets call the responsible line. They don't treat the state's preferences as editorial guidance. They don't get their scoops handed to them on a plate by the powers that be. They treat them as what they are. Power attempting to manage perception. And so they dig, they investigate, they uncover, they publish, they disrupt. And disruption is the one thing the denotice model cannot absorb. The leak shows that Britain doesn't just have a censorship mechanism, it has an information government structure built on quiet compliance. And that structure is now threatened by a media landscape it can't fully manage. That's why the state is trying to extend its reach now into digital platforms. That's why online safety rhetoric keeps creeping into political speeches about extremism and destabilisation. That's why independent journalism gets framed as a threat to national coherence, because the state doesn't just want to manage information in the legacy press, it wants to manage the entire ecosystem. And once you see the state trying to pull the digital sphere into the same framework that's kept the mainstream obedient for decades, you start to realise how big the stakes are here, because the DSMA system only works when the information environment is narrow enough to contain. When you only have a handful of major outlets, all chasing access, all shaped by the same institutional incentives, all conditioned to see suppression as responsibility, then the machinery runs smoothly. But when information becomes decentralised, when independent journalists can publish without permission, when audiences can bypass the legacy gatekeepers, the denotice structure springs leaks everywhere. It becomes a tool designed for a world that no longer exists. And the security state knows that. It knows the old model can't control this new terrain without expanding into it. So that's why the documents mention digital engagement. That's why there's language about shaping online information flows. These aren't throwaway lines. They're signs of a strategic shift. Controlling the press used to be enough. Now it's not. Now the state wants to shape the platforms where independent journalists work, the distribution channels that carry their reporting, the algorithms that determine what reaches the public. It wants the digital sphere to adopt the same culture of responsibility that the mainstream internalised years ago, which is just a polite way of saying, silence yourselves or we're going to engineer an environment where your reporting becomes easier to marginalise, restrict, or delegitimise. And this is the part the British public rarely hears, because the national conversation about media freedom still imagines journalism as a battle between scrappy reporters and evasive ministers. It's a comforting myth. The mainstream happily performs it. But that myth only holds up because the boundaries of the conversation are already set before the cameras roll. The DSMA system shows that the real battle lines don't sit between journalists and the government. They sit between journalists who obey the structure and journalists who oppose it and expose it. And the state's allegiance is always with the former, because obedience is predictable and predictability is control. So when you look at what the leak tells us about how information moves through the political system, you start to see why certain stories never break into the mainstream. Not because there's nothing there, not because they're conspiracy fodder, and not because responsible journalists couldn't verify them. They disappeared because the system absorbs them before the public ever gets to hear about them. The DSMA mechanism doesn't just spike stories, it shapes newsroom instincts. It creates an environment where certain lines of inquiry feel unprofessional, reckless, or destabilizing. It turns absence into normality. And once absence becomes normal, the public stops noticing what isn't there. That's the democratic cost. You can't take part in a political process if the information you're using to navigate it has already been filtered for your own good. You can't challenge power when the stories that illustrate how power behaves never make it into the conversation. You can't understand the stakes of governance when whole categories of wrongdoing or incompetence are quietly removed from the record. And you can't pretend any of this is accidental when the paperwork shows the system doing exactly what it was designed to do. Britain doesn't have a free press in the way people assume. What it has is a managed press and a free-ish periphery. The managed press gets all the access, the interviews, the exclusives, the invitations to those lovely briefings that shape the next morning's headlines. The free-ish periphery gets the smears, the labels, the accusations of extremism or irresponsibility. And now, according to these documents, the attention of a security state increasingly interested in bringing digital media under its influence. And the dividing line between the two isn't quality or accuracy or public interest, it's obedience. It's whether you behave inside the system or you challenge it. Look at the mainstream's behaviour since this leak surfaced. Have you even heard about it, for one? There's been no wall-to-wall coverage, no panel discussions, no editorials about press freedom, no public debate about the boundaries of state power. Nothing. Silence. The silence gives the game away, because if the mainstream believed they were truly independent, they'd fight to defend that independence, wouldn't they? Instead, they avoid the story because the story implicates them. It shows the public that the watchdog wasn't sleeping, it's being domesticated. And nothing terrifies an institution more than having to explain its own submission. This is why independent journalism, despite being smeared as fringe, is increasingly the only place where the public can see how the system actually operates. Because independent journalists don't have anything to lose by exposing the structure. They only lose by ignoring it. Their work doesn't require the state's approval. And for that reason, it is the only journalism the state actually fears. And fear is exactly the right word. The D-Notice leak shows officials discussing independent media not as partners in democratic scrutiny, but as destabilising forces. Not because of falsehoods, but because of truths, published outside the state's control. As such, the British state is coming after independent media. Not in a single dramatic sweep, not through the kind of authoritarian performance people might imagine when they picture censorship, but through layered structures that have existed for decades and are now being expanded into new territories. It comes through influence over mainstream editorial culture. It comes through digital regulation. It comes through the deliberate framing of independence as extremism. It comes through attempts to export censorship models internationally to normalise them. It comes through silence, through omission, through shaping what is considered legitimate journalism and what is treated as a threat. And this leak proves it. It shows a system running quietly in the background, shaping the information the public receives, protecting the state from scrutiny, and sidelining the only journalists who refuse to participate. It shows a political culture where truth is filtered through institutional comfort, where access matters more than accountability, where silence is rewarded and dissent is pathologized. It shows a democracy where the public cannot see the full picture because the full picture has been deemed too destabilizing to reveal. The British public is not being protected by the system, it's being managed by it. And the only people standing between the public and the machinery that manages them are the independent journalists the state now wants to bring to heel. So do support your favourites and prepare to stand up for them too, it seems. The DSMA leak doesn't expose a secret, it exposes a structure. Now that structure is visible. The question, therefore, is whether the public will continue accepting a managed democracy, managed news, or whether they will demand an informed one, better one, because those two things are not the same. And after this leak, nobody can pretend not to know the difference. So, of course, that all does come down to people hearing about it, doesn't it? So do share and spread the word, and do check out the fuller details in that Grey Zone article. I do recommend it. And then another example of independent media clout. How about this story where Declassified UK just managed to run an Israeli arms firm clean out of Britain? Genuinely, they have. Check out the details of that here. Please do also hit like, share and subscribe if you haven't done so already, so as to ensure you don't miss out on all new daily content, as well as spreading the word and helping to support the channel at the same time, which is very much appreciated. Holding power to account for ordinary working class people, and I'll hopefully catch you on the next one. Cheers, folks.